Queen's University Belfast Literary and Scientific Society with aim and attendance to this class of the next class, especially for those who are watching this time. And I'd like to register Dr. Michelli to read the minutes of the last part of this.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see so many people back in chamber for yet another field debate this term. Thank you all very much for coming. I believe you have another full house. And what I want to do briefly, as always in these private business meetings, is just inform you of what it is we have done this week and what we will be doing. So first of all, I bought a pen for society. I bought a fountain pen. Not that one with the image, but I think the first contribution I've actually made to this society. So that's very exciting to you. Then to recap, so on Tuesday, the Lids had their first ever chamber debate here in chamber. It was an enormous success, debating whether or not we should reclaim the word slut. Very great attendance at that event, and hopefully we'll have another one next term. We had our school debate competition here as well. Big thank you to everyone who volunteered. It makes a big difference for all these kids coming to get exposure to debating. So thanks to everyone who made that happen. And then I suppose next week we have our maidens final. So we had a wild card today, so that's in and out of the maidens, which is the very last stage. The wild card final is on next Thursday. The motion is that this house believes that this is as good as it gets. So that's what we'll be debating. Please do come along. It'll be the last term of debate, chamber debate this term, so do come along. If you're interested in competitive debating on Tuesdays from 5 to 7, we have novice training lasting this term. And then from 7 to 9, we've got our advanced training, and I'm pretty sure that's all the business. So there you go.
Thank you.
citizens meeting, which took place, of course, last Thursday at 7:30 here in the GMB, in coordination with the alumni office, which was an inaugural event. There were not one, not two, but three motions on notice for a change. And then the motion for the House, if this House believes that AI will bring about the downfall of humanity. So, perhaps not our best work, if anyone was there. We apologise. It was an entertaining debate. Hopefully, we'll get some fighting tonight. But it wasn't our best work. But Kitty did a great job. It was her first time speaking to Chamber. She opened the case of the proposition, and she talked all about the role of sexism in AI. Then we had two speakers, Dr. Joanne Kenny, who flew in all the way from London, and Professor Brahane. Then, and as you know, it's my job. I don't always, execute the roles in my office, but it's my job to try and be funny. It's my job to try and make these minutes funny, but I'm a humble registrar. I'm not a miracle worker. And I don't go fast from Chanel Blaine's tools, but they spoke. So then Oisin Brown, who you might remember from quite famously last time he spoke in the chamber here this year, he shaved his head in front of us all. We all watched him as he shaved his head. Well, last week we simply watched his hair grow back. But Oisin did a great job. He brought, of course, capitalism and communism into the equation, as he is wont to usually do, and he effectively said AI is not the problem, ladies and gentlemen. He told us that really it is corporations who wield it that are the problem. That was Oisin in final. Cottle used to then close the case for the proposition, as always, a fantastic job from Cottle. He said he was a terrible friend, and that's how he started his speech. Cottle, if you're here, I don't think so. And then finally, Ed Dowling, who's not a professor, he's a partner at EY, came to talk to us, and frankly, I was horrified when he referred to a public business meeting at the University of Philosophical Society, he referred to all of us and what we do in this chamber as, quote unquote, our little talk here tonight. I'm not going to rely on what you said. Basically, the motion then was put to the House and it fell. But today we're not talking about AI, of course, we are talking about Sinn Féin. And, yes. I don't speak too much on this subject. It is only the second last debate, but I don't want to be fired. But basically, Sinn Féin, what do they stand for? It's time for change. That's their motto, and I think they certainly thought it was time for change this morning when both their speakers dropped out. So, fantastic job. At least they're individuals of principle. Certainly, they stick to their guns. So, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. There we go for the business. The meeting was adjourned. Thank you.
University of Belfast, where he is the external leader for the literate, formerly International Affairs for the Corporation as a United Nations correspondent and now as a freelance commentator. And Laszlo Moldavari, a PPE student, president of the Student Union here at Trinity College. And Minister Pascal Donoghue, Minister of Public Expenditure and Reform, and president of the Eurogroup and former secretary of the Bill in 1992. And I would like to welcome first proposition Ryan Gilmore to speak.
Democracy means that change is a good thing, that change is inevitable when people demand it. However, in order to know what choices we have to know what roads we can choose. It means we have to be open to accepting any side of the political avenue based on when it will suit us. But for too long in this country, we've had blinkers placed over our eyes. We've been told that there's only one path and that a political elite can tell us what we should be doing. We've been blinded by over 100 years of statehood in which change was slow and painful and brought around by citizen action rather than political change. But now we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to take another path and embrace a new vision for Ireland. It may not be a perfect vision, but we do have to try because what we have right now is not perfect. It is floundering and it is shameful. I believe that the people and the success of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil governments within this coalition, within the months of the past, have served predominantly in very good faith. They've been good public servants. And I'm proud to have been majority raised in a political system like that where it's transparent, where we understand what our governments are doing. However, change, like I said, is inevitable. There are unsolved issues within the system, within our society, that are no longer serving the needs of the people of Ireland, North and South. It's time to embrace a new vision for Ireland. It's time for this House to embrace a new vision for Ireland, and it's time for this House and the people of Ireland to elect a Sinn Féin government. Because regardless of what the distinguished members of the opposition here on this bench will say tonight about their policies and the opportunities they're providing for us, we're all living on the same bloody island. We can see the state of the place. We can see our inner cities, we can see the suburbs, we can see our rural towns and our rural communities falling into a shameful state. We can look in our schools and we can look in our hospitals and it's not okay. I've said already that I think the members of this government, of the coalition, have served in good faith. But their constant presence in office over the past decades has only highlighted their inability to fix the fundamental cracks in our political society. That's why it's time for us to clap our hands, say thank you very much, and get this perpetual government of failings off the stage and bring on the next act. Like Macbeth said, in a tragic downfall, life is but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and gets his hour upon stage and then is heard no more. I want to hear no more of this government. Day in and day out, despite respecting the people of this government, I'm becoming more and more ashamed by the current coalition parties. I said I was proud to live in a nation that has a political system that meets our needs, that's transparent. But there is division being brought into our politics. Let's look at the United States, let's look at the UK, Jesus Christ, I'm living there. Let's look across Europe. It's divisive politics, it's hurtful, it's designed to cause pain. Cambridge Dictionary, unfortunately it's not Trinity English Dictionary, it's not unfortunately Cambridge Dictionary. Yesterday evening they announced their word of the year. It's hallucination. That is what members of the FFG government want you to do, or else they're convincing themselves that they are re-electable. They want you to believe that they are serving your needs, and they very clearly are. They are hallucinating. There is a lasting legacy being left by this government, and it can be summed up in a short story which has been left with me. One of my closest friends in secondary school very unfortunately had their house burned down in a tragic fire, and him, his mother, and three other siblings under the age of 10 were left homeless in this country for 18 months. When I say homeless, they were put in emergency accommodation for 18 months in a three-star hotel in rural Ireland, two rooms between them. The shower broke midway through and was never fixed. He was coming to school every morning and having to use the showers and the changing rooms. The government didn't care. What happened was they were told, oh, you're going to get a council house next week. You're going to be put in this lovely estate. It kept getting put off. Do you want to know why? There was black mold behind the cupboards and nobody got down on their knees to clean it. We have an economy which is serving the corporate rather than the citizenry. We are abandoning our citizens. We're becoming reliant on charities to serve our needs. That's not okay. We have a massive income surplus in this country going to the government, taking our taxes, and they're spending it on God knows what because it's not serving us. We have vulture funds coming in, and this government will accept any check. They will sell away our souls. There's an irony tonight that there's a minister in the current government sitting on the opposition bench, and I really hope that's where you are after the next general election.
Shot down. There's around 4,000 houses that could be built within the past 5 years. that could indeed be built, but however, the NIMBYs in the Sinn Féin party seem to say, ah no, let's not build it. Perhaps, instead of discussing various structural and cultural issues with Sinn Féin, which there are many, rather let's explain how letting Sinn Féin into government would be a disaster. I'm not going to pretend that Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil have clean sheets. I will freely admit to the various mistakes that they've made for right to accept governments, but equally, I will admit to the various successes made in those self-same governments. I actually want to focus on how governments stand to lose, in aid of providing an informed view as opposed to speech based purely on rhetoric, as we've seen before. As you've likely heard from our proposition.
Shame.
Perhaps then a logical argument would be wise. Most of what he said relates to housing policy. And I must ask beyond the proposition if they've read the writing of Donald O'Brien. Given that he was here, I thought he would have an expert. However, he's decided to disappear. Same thing with Jonathan Lucan. I recommend that if you are intent on running government, I suggest they hold on to their appointments. So, further to that, I must ask, have you ever heard of the concept of public-private partnership? The writing of Donald O'Brien seems to discuss, and luckily, you all come to the same conclusion that more houses are required. However, we cannot talk these houses into existence. You're saying there would be more such houses, but I mean, considering the fact that people actually want to own their homes. There's various issues, and also, the multiplying that we offer social housing, wherever it may be, is continually shot down. And further to that, reflects back then on their council voting rights. If we want to build more houses in Dublin City, we have to get the vote through. However, there seems continual things going here. Oh, there's something in Fine Gael, therefore we cannot vote for any of their propositions at all. So to come to their proposition, they indeed have nothing to offer but sound bites in a few pages. You haven't put in any of the hard work. Shouting is not a policy.
Fine Gael have been playing the hard work that long since been involved for about 100 years, if not much more. How you going to fix the 3,431 children that are currently homeless? You've had the chance to work.
Well, indeed there is. Frankly, astonishing large amount of children. However, we also need to consider, on the whole, the entire community team. But, we still need to be there. We need to consider the whole picture. We are trying to build houses. That is indeed what's happening. With the housing plan that has come through, we have Minister O'Brien indeed walking around, despite indeed some of the dubious record so far. He's indeed trying to make it better. Simply shouting and opposing. Be productive. Take part in the system. Don't just shout. I doubt that you've ever heard of the Tala Doctrine. You have to put the state before the party. It's nigh on treasonous to come around and say, well, oh, please let me continue. You can't just sit around and argue against it. You indeed, in opposition, should think mainly about as productive as your House of Commons voting record. They seem to be oblivious to many things that Irish people hold essential. Whether that's about indeed owning one's home or indeed having the confidence to come to part of the place in the world stage. Have they considered the impact that will come when Mark McCarthy receives a seal of state from the president? How the relationships will change between us and the US, between Ireland and the UK, and actually that probably might be the one that we need to look at most closely here. You cannot have, in this case, a parliament in the UK where you have an elected representative, you're going to sit back and say nothing, whilst also, even though you have the opportunity to take part in their affairs, and yet you have an ambassador, or indeed a minister, coming to speak to them, whilst in a separate country, it just kind of falls apart. The logic of it just doesn't sit. So I urge you... No. I urge you not to have any plans for it. I will leave this island if Sinn Féin enters government. I refuse to be complicit with or governed by a party that doesn't know who we are or behaves like a four-faced beast. There are industries in which disruption is a good thing, tearing away immunity bureaucracy and making this more transparent. The state, as outlined in the Government of Inherent and the Act of the Oroctus, has a defined purview. It is not to be broken apart through a fervor of a starter. There are simply too many calls to juggle. The current rhetoric that our deputy displays is actually dangerous climate change by substantial detail is, again, I've actually done a reference to this. It is indeed dangerous to suggest that we're going to let in the government. First of all, they can't hold on to their own appointments and seem to turn around that change is required, but change doesn't necessarily mean turning up when you said it. It is seemingly it seemingly to me why we would vote for a party. Whilst the actually saying that they're going to bring change, change needs to be just that, change. Allow it to be spoken about, instead of, I need to remind you that you start to behave a bit like Richard White Barrett, just saying no, 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 or indeed like the Braveheart fashion. So I recommend stop drinking Kool-Aid of champagne socialism. See what I'm going to find. Come up to an informed opinion, engage and make Ireland, Europe and the world a better place. Thank you.
So I would say that with the amount, you just have to look at how many Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil TDs are also long.
there's no desire, no push for them to want to change the status quo in the situation that we have with the housing crisis, because they're directly benefiting from the way things are.
Okay.
Just a second. So what I'm saying with this is that having a new party in government, such as Sinn Féin, they obviously have this desire to prove themselves to a new demographic. Like, having them be in the government for the first time, this is the kind of motivation I feel we need behind the government. I don't think the complacency can continue any longer. And this is not to say that I'm mad about Sinn Féin and that I am a big Sinn Féin supporter. I'm just saying that if we're looking for something new and for some more motivation, what we need is a new government in place. Do you want to hear it?
Yes. He's discussing this change in some Islam of things, regarding back to inequality. Mm-hmm. Indeed, there is a big gap. However, on the whole, we go from around 38 in terms of wealth inequality, 30. The tax system doesn't need work to redistribute that wealth.
Yeah, the tax system does seriously need work with redistributing wealth, but what I'm saying is, if we want to take the argument,
the point is that we improve our rank immensely on the taxes, and that the wealth is indeed.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but what I'm saying is that this looks really good on paper, like you're saying, oh, the tax is great for what you're making a point of here. But what I'm saying is, with all this wealth, this new wealth that's coming in, where are we seeing this on the ground with everyday people? Why are poor people getting more poor if this redistribution is working as well as you're saying? You know, if we're saying that we're getting such good investment into the country and we're doing so well economically, why is this wealth all concentrated around the docks and making these areas, if you're seeing so much investment in there, what are we seeing in working class areas or areas that are deprived? You know, there's nothing going into that in Dublin. I mean, you only have to look around the city centre. But where is the investment in these areas north of the Liffey? We're seeing it all around the docks, but where is it tangibly? But aside from that, if we're going to talk about all these economic issues, we could go on all day, but what I would also say it makes more sense for is the constitutional direction that the country is going in. So I think it's fair to note that Sinn Féin won the majority in the last election, both in the north and the south. They won in the south by the popular vote by 51,000, over 51,000, and in the north by over 66,000. So then having a majority in the north and the south seems to indicate that there is some sort of desire towards a bit of change going on. But aside from that, with the opinion polls towards United Ireland leading increasingly more indicating that we have a desire to have that discussion, it seems to make more sense to prepare for this. There's obviously a lot of anxiety in the north and the south about how this works logistically. So what I think is, if we really want to make meaningful planning on this, the best thing we can do is have the same government in place in both the north and the south. So this would make a lot of sense through coordination of resources and services, but it would also allow us to ease the fears of people that they have regarding how this would actually play out and build confidence in the idea. So I don't think there's any point in kicking the can down the road or like staving off what we feel is probably going to happen in our lifetimes. So we need to involve citizens north and south in this debate. And the best way I feel to do that would be to have a Sinn Féin government. So just to tie everything together, what I would say is the status quo is currently not working, and I welcome any shift away from it. And I feel this is an effective way we can have that. So
I won't belong to any club which will have me as a member. Alana was keen, however,
to oblige. Coming to your proposition that this House prefers a sugar-baked government, I intend to advocate that you join me in neutrality rather than expressing a positive preference. My arguments might be familiar to any students of Scottish law here, namely that your verdict should be well proven. My case is that whilst there's plenty of excitement and curiosity attached to the prospect of Mary Lou McDonald as a T-shirt, well, we all know what curiosity did to the cat. When it comes to hard evidence, the record of Sinn Féin government in the north remains mixed. So if you do decide to give them a try here in the south, you should be aware that you will be crash test dummy strapped inside a car which hasn't yet been fully road tested.
Yeah. Robert strapped inside a car that has a past density.
The MOT may be coming out of date, but there's no perfect options in this life. First, let's acknowledge that the story of Gerry Adams and Mark McGuinness's Sinn Féin has been remarkable. 41 years ago this month, a short distance away at Matching Hall, they took their decision to drop their previous policy of abstaining from taking their seats in the Dáil. Now they have poised to become the biggest party in the Dáil, potentially the lead party in a new governing coalition. The party is linked to the Provisional IRA, which was absolutely explicit when that Matching Hall meeting took place, has evolved over the years, which witnessed the 1994 ceasefire, the 1998 Good Friday Agreement, and the subsequent formation of the Stormont power-sharing executive. Sinn Féin's troubles legacy may still stick in the craw for some voters, but there's no doubt the evolution of the party and the peace process it spawned changed this island for the better, almost certainly saving many hundreds of lives over the last quarter of a century. As an observer of local politics, I have to admit that I am myself curious to see what Sinn Féin government here might look like. Can they deliver on their promises for radically improving provision and provision of housing without compromising the economic advances you made? What difference will they make to the development of debate around the Hall of Poll, where we see not just a citizens' assembly, but also the creation of a new Ministry for Unification? Certainly for a freelance commentator, Mary Lou taking up office in government buildings holds out the prospect a much more enticing copy than the same old Tweedledum Tweedledee Act that's going to get out of here. Go for it. Have you got more, by the way? Do you want to
to make any kind of coalition work, they have been sorely lacking. Moreover, unlike the situation here, where you can raise taxes, borrow, and spend as you see fit, storm, or let it glorify local council, depending on the price cash the UK Treasury sees fit to allocate. And after this trusted budget, that balance what hasn't exactly been overflowing. So if you ask, why did the Equality Party sort out housing once and for all, to borrow one of Mary Luther's phrases, which is the Storm Communities Minister, or why didn't Michelle O'Neill overhaul our hospitals when she was Health Minister, then Sinn Féin can quite rightly reply that things were very difficult, resources were tight, they had to tick tap with their coalition partners and so on. Fair enough. But if you were applying for a job, it's reasonable for those on the interview panel to look at your CV, and that Storm CV is very mixed. On the upside, Sinn Féin did protect Northern Ireland welfare claimants in some of the largest benefit cuts introduced elsewhere in the UK. They secured Irish language legislation. Martin McGuinness took considerable personal risks in denouncing dissident Republican violence. But when it comes to housing and health, the key issues here, the record's far more patchy. Last year, in the North, Sinn Féin advocated not a rent freeze, but actually a 10% rent cut. They advocated that, backing the proposal from People Before Profit. They advocated it for 12 days until their minister told them that they got it completely and horribly wrong, and having voted for that legal change for a 10% rate cut, they actually voted through one which turned it completely around and made sure that it couldn't happen. So they had a 12-day policy on housing. In 2016, Health Minister then, Michelle O'Neill, warmly endorsed a report from an internationally renowned health expert calling for radical reform to Northern Ireland's overcrowded hospitals. 7 years on, what's happened? None of the actions recommended by that report have been taken. Is that what Sinn Féin's got? No. We've had a pandemic, a cost of living crisis, two lengthy interruptions to power sharing, the first triggered by Sinn Féin, the second by the DUP. But if in 5 years' time Martin and his colleagues have to explain why that rent freeze didn't go exactly according to plan, or why your health service is still experiencing difficulties, then, just as in the North, they may very well be able to blame unexpected economic headwinds or troublesome coalition partners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed Emma saying that things are going well, but the money is just not filtering through, and that's entirely reasonable, our argument. But you do need to make sure, if you voted a radical new government, that it doesn't kill the goose that's been laying all your golden eggs. I was listening to Owen Brin on Good Morning Ireland today. He's clearly an extremely impressive performer, and I think he's a prime time now rather than at this debate. I can also recall, though, over the years, various Sinn Féin representatives all before suggesting that the banks could clear everyone's personal credit card debts. Venezuela could provide cheap oil for the North's fishing fleet, or just earlier this year, that a brigade of Cuban doctors could resolve the mammoth surgery backlog. All these policies, ostensibly appealing on the back of an envelope, were later deemed impractical. Back in 2006, Sinn Féin advocated a substantial increase in corporation tax, which, a policy which, if adopted then, could arguably have undermined all the growth and job creation you enjoyed since. Now, I was going to say more about the history, about the IRA. I do want to say that I would like to see Sinn Féin change in various ways, including adopting less of a litigious attitude towards journalists like the Irish Times carrying within. Sinn Féin's determination to control the message no matter what sometimes makes me fear how it might be having power. Time for a change is always a plausible and persuasive message in politics in almost any administration. Given the polls, I feel a little like King Canute here, arguing against the ebb and flow of the tide. Indeed, as I have already made abundantly clear, from a journalistic viewpoint, Sinn Féin in power here would definitely be good for business. But with an election campaign still maybe more than a year away, for now, at any rate, and for the purposes of this debate, I urge you to stick to my Groucho Marxism. Maintain your neutrality and join me in my cautious Scottish verdict on potential Sinn Féin government, not yet proven. Thank you.
Children of Sinn Féin, both of their heroes, both Devon Aran and Michael Collins,
we're proud members of Sinn Féin and abstain from going into an imperialist parliament. And it's unfortunate they don't have the same credentials today. Sinn Féin government was focused on making life affordable for people. The cost of housing, including rents, are crippling charge for many people. Childcare costs and energy costs are putting families under huge pressure. The longer Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in power, the worse things have become. Sinn Féin is committed to investing in the future. We are prioritising investment in housing, health and climate action. Sinn Féin is putting fairness at the heart of our taxation policy. In recent alternative budget proposals, our finance spokesperson, Pierce Doherty, set out a number of tax proposals that would reduce income tax for those individuals earning under €100,000 per annum. Our financial proposals would build affordable housing, tackle high costs of living and renting, reduce health waiting lists, respond ambiguously. I will continue my speech, thank you very much. Respond ambitiously and fairly to the climate crisis and commence planning for a united Ireland. The crisis in housing and health are the legacy of successful, failed Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael policies. Fine Gael are responsible for the past 12 budgets, and 7 of those have been supported by Fianna Fáil. Their budgets have caused more patients to suffer on trolleys and waiting lists and made housing crisis worse. The Irish people, our society and economy are suffering because of the renting, because renting and home ownership have been pushed beyond the reach of so many of our young people. The housing crisis is a barrier to employers hiring workers, schools hiring teachers, hospitals hiring doctors and nurses. And many of you will know another generation of young people are either leaving Ireland or being forced to live at home with their parents into their 30s and some even into their 40s. Solving the housing crisis, building affordable homes at pace and at scale is what is required, and delivering genuinely affordable homes to buy and to rent is critical to the well-being of every generation and to the delivery of quality public services and the growth of our economy. Sinn Féin in government would make housing our number one priority. More of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil governments will only result in more of the same disastrous outcomes for students and for workers and families. I just want to focus for a moment on housing, because housing is the biggest issue. During the past 12 years of this government, the housing crisis has gone from bad to worse, and the figures speak for themselves. Housing prices have increased by 51%. That's an extra €110,000 in the cost of the average home. Rents have increased by 121%. That's an extra almost €12,000 per annum in rents. Homelessness has increased by 236%. There are now 12,827 people in emergency accommodation, a shameful record. A shameful record and a legacy of this government. Child homelessness has increased by 509%, a five-fold increase in over 10 years. There are now 3,904 children sleeping in emergency accommodation compared to 641 in 2011. That tells us that it's families that are falling into homelessness. That's the legacy of Fine Gael government. That is the progress that Pascal Dunning and his colleagues talk about. In 2019, Pascal's colleague Owen Murphy launched a new affordable housing scheme with a promise of over three years they would provide 6,000 affordable homes to be delivered. Zero were delivered in 2019 and 2020. Only a handful delivered in 2021. At the end of 2021, Fine Gael's coalition partner Fianna Fáil took over in the housing portfolio. They promised to deliver thousands of affordable homes to buy and rent every year. In 2022, they promised 4,100 homes. How many did they deliver? 323 affordable homes to buy and 641 to rent. This year, they promised 5,500 affordable homes. By the end of June, they had delivered 101 affordable purchase homes and 22 affordable rental homes. The social housing targets are too low and they're still being missed. Their refurbishment grants, our targets, are too low and they're still being missed. By the end of September this year, only 562 refurbished homes have been delivered. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are unable to deliver social and affordable homes, and they have no ambition to do so, and they have no will to do so. More than any other reason, housing is the key reason why we need a Sinn Féin government. Sinn Féin will deliver on the most ambitious public housing building programme in the history of the state. We would double the output of social and affordable homes to 21,000 next year, and critically, we would deliver them. I know what you're going to ask how. We would cut the red tape by imposed by the Department of Expenditure and Reform, which Pascal oversees, by focusing on vacant and derelict buildings and building a new building technologies, by redirecting existing labour to deliver affordable homes, and by attracting new labour into construction by taxing low rates of pay and bogus subcontracting. A Sinn Féin government will stand up for renters. We would ban rent increases for 3 years and put a full month's rent back into every private renter's pocket. Introduce real tenancies of indefinite duration and ensure minimum standards are actually met for renters. And critically, Sinn Féin government would end long-term homelessness by 2030. That would allow us to dramatically reduce the numbers of families and children in emergency accommodation, the biggest shame in this country. And we would double the number of first-time tenancies to over 500. This would mean that year on year, the number of adults and children in emergency accommodation would fall and continue to fall. The only solution, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil failure, the only solution to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's failure in housing is a radical change in housing policy, and that means a shift away from relying on the private sector to deliver everything. Make no mistake, this will not happen as long as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in government. That is why we need an election and change of government. Ireland needs a Sinn Féin Minister for Housing and a Sinn Féin Housing Plan. To finally resolve the escalating crisis, we will deliver tens of thousands of affordable and social homes that working people desperately need and deserve. But housing is not the only crisis we have in our country. In fact, we have a crisis right across a number of our public services. And I want to focus for a moment on the health issue. Whether it was a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael Minister for Health, the crisis has continued to deepen. We have hundreds of thousands of people on waiting lists and hundreds of patients on trolleys daily. We have frontline health workers under enormous pressure. We all live with the fear of needing to go to an emergency department or sitting on a waiting list. And many of you, no doubt, will have thousands battling the system for disability, mental health and addiction services. All on the watch this government, which has thrown in the towel on health.
Not all of these things do need solved, I agree. But there are elements of the system here that it will likely be a coalition government. It'll be Sinn Féin and something potentially won't work for me in government. So are these going to be recognised that you're wearing a high wing of policies, or are you going to be able to be able
to a programme for government will have to be worked out, and we will prepare to negotiate or work out a programme for government that delivers for the people. We absolutely understand and appreciate that, but it is our intention not to need a coalition. Last month, the government spent $1.3 billion.
Sorry. All I hear is a lot of screaming and wild promises. And I believe all of us here know the problems that are facing our country. But what we're not hearing is the solutions that you have to offer us.
We have set out the solutions. Our solutions are about delivering for people, about ensuring that we have a taxation system which delivers, which provides the income that people need. We want to make sure that people can afford to live in this country and not have to emigrate because they can't find anywhere to live. Last one.
Could you please give the House any clear Sinn Féin policies to address the issues that you bring up? You're highlighting very clearly the issues affecting the Republic, but you're not giving concrete solutions that Sinn Féin will provide for voters.
You're here. We've given concrete solutions in our pre-budget submission every year, and I would suggest we go online and read. Last month, the government had a $1.3 billion hole in the health budget. This has caused an embargo on recruitment in the HSE, and people who will be most affected by this are the most vulnerable in our society. In my own area, in the Northwest, I recently had a case where a child recovering from childhood cancer went to CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. And they directed that the child should be treated by the intellectual disability teams. The issue here is that only 4 of the 9 CWO areas have an intellectual disability team, and they can't be transferred between them. This is the society that this government has built, where a child who suffers due to the prioritisation of private health services over the public ones. That is why Ireland needs and deserves a Sinn Féin health minister. We have a plan to deliver the right care in the right place at the right time, and to cut the cost to healthcare. Invest in more beds, more frontline staff, and increase the capacity in diagnostic and surgical theatre space so that no child is left to wait and wait in agony for spinal procedures or to change their lives. Or mental health intervention to save them from a crisis. Or end of life care for an elderly relative. We all know that Sinn Féin is an all-Ireland party. And Irish unity is a key priority for a Sinn Féin government. A nation. A unified nation of confident, compassionate, compassionate, talented, ingenuity, claiming our future, our rightful place among the nations of the world, a new Ireland, where the orange and green and everyone in between will be reconciled. An Ireland where there is no place for intolerance or hate of any kind. All of us who call Ireland our home must be treated the same. We are planning extensively to call this place a new home. And the Sinn Féin government will deliver a united Ireland for all, not just for the some. We have decades of government that serve the interests of the few and not the many. We deserve, and you deserve, an Ireland for all. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will continue to stumble from one crisis to another. Whether it be in this house, whether it be in housing, health, climate, or childcare, we have had years of cabinet chaos, conservative, self-serving government. Ireland now needs a new government for change, a new government without the failed Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, for the first time in 100 years is achievable. Just think of that. That would be the very best outcome of this country in the next election, and you are the ones that can make that call. That is your decision, both tonight and at the next election. For real life.
Sinn Féin attending the coronation
Sinn Féin saying that we pose no threat to big business, flip-flopping on the Israeli ambassador, having to be pressured into supporting the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador. In fact, in Belfast, because of Sinn Féin's hesitancy, a Belfast City Council motion lost. Sinn Féin and Mary Lou MacDonald saying that they're not excluding Fianna Fáil even from possible coalition. All of this is saying we pose no threat. But it goes much deeper than this, right? Ask yourself why every party that gets into power acts the same, and every party that gets into power moves to the center and implements whatever the market wants, implements austerity or neoliberal policies. It is the nature of bourgeois parliamentary democracy. Charlatans, and the nature of charlatans is to deceive, and those who follow charlatans will be deceived. I ask what happens when that deceit is uncovered. Look no further than Syriza, a Greek left-ish party that in 2010 got left on a left populist platform, much like Sinn Féin. They got into power, they sold out to capitalist power, they implemented austerity, and they lost relevance. And the far right rose, because of it. Social democracy is bound for failure. And when we Marxists say that social democracy is the moderate wing of fascism, we do not mean that Sinn Féin. We do not mean that Sinn Féin is fascist. We mean that Sinn Féin will create the conditions in Ireland, will create the conditions in Ireland for the rise of the far right, because they will not be able to implement a radical change. What we need is a socialist movement. Socialism is the destruction of capitalist relations of production. Socialism is the destruction of capitalist relations of production and of the liberal democratic representative system and its replacement by worker self-management, by economic democracy. Socialism requires a revolution, the forceful overthrow of the state. In fact, it is this month, in November 2023, that we celebrate the 106th anniversary of the October Revolution, when millions of people.
I had a speech, I think it has all just been shot in the face of the normal life during the October Revolution.
He who stood by and watched the healthcare system fall apart
watch the Exchequer fall apart, that's your teacher. He's the same man that stands by even now and watches this country fall apart by the seams. Martin brought up the United Ireland. Something I could have been raised on, something I could have dreamed of as a boy. And when I look at this part of the country. I look at a government that made up of Fianna Gael, formed by fascists, a party of landlords and nepo babies. Fianna Fáil, party of ex-IRA killers, now made up of landlords and nepo babies. And then you've the Green Party, blue shirts on bikes. You look at the legacy of stagnation, the legacy of failure, the legacy of austerity. When I look at that, I don't want you in there. Keep your 26 catches. You see, but what? At least the Tories will throw money at us when things are at least we can get away from being the most complex society and do a little look how bad it is for us. But down here, they've just majorly fucked up. Because they offer that consistent legacy of failure here. The proposition, we try and offer you a fair deal. Shouldn't be an unperfect, I wouldn't say they are. I think they're far fucking from it. But we offer you a fair deal. A fair deal for students, a fair deal for nurses, a fair deal for renters, a fair deal for the MICA victims, a fair deal for people who are dying in direct provision, who are living in uninhabitable conditions. A hallucination offered by Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Green Party is not good enough for the people of Ireland. It's not attractive enough to create a United Ireland. And by God, I hope you vote for the proposition. Not that much choice, but it's not the opposition.
Staggeringly, for a group here, for a opponents that are advocating, at least I thought of, I came here tonight, a united Ireland. We heard a bare glancing mention of it from Martin, a poor joke from the final speaker. Two efforts to united Ireland. But what they are united in, what they are united in, is none of them tackled how they would bring about. None of them tackled the issues regarding how you would create a proposition for change, how you would talk to a minority, what that means for our relationship with Europe, what that means for our relationship with Northern Ireland. On housing, of course I know the impact of housing crisis. Of course I know what it means for the people I represent, for you, for your families. But to do that justice, you need to say what you're going to do differently. Mm-hmm. You need to say how you're going to build more homes. And this is the best we got from Deputy Kenny. He said, we will bring forward a solution that is about delivery for the people. Really? Is that the best you can offer? The best you can offer is to say you're going to cut red tape. How many other politicians have stood up and promised to you? Since when has cutting tape meant radical change? He then went on to say, we'll use new building technologies. Really? Is that a recipe for building more? Is this an idea this government has never heard of? We have the luxury of hearing about the first time tonight. We then heard about what we need is more apprentices. I mean, really, is that the best you can offer? So for all of you who are thinking about how you want to go through this evening, I hope many of you are, because I've been so impressed to see the wonderful traditions of the film so alive and well since 5 years last year. If you want change, why did the proponents only touch on the issues that really can make a difference to the future of our country? Why no reference to the issues that consume the world? If you want change, you need to know how it's going to happen. You need to know how it's going to be delivered. And you need to know how it will be paid for. Issues that not a single speaker touched upon, barely touching on, the question of the future of this Ireland. Barely, not even touching on how they will bring it about. The best they can offer is claims of allegiance. The best they can offer is that I don't care. And let me address the phrase that Aslo used in his address, but he used the phrase murder. Well, my friends, in an age in which we can see what polarisation really can cause, in an age in which we can see the costs of division, and in an age in which we can see what the loss of life really looks like, Laszlo, think carefully before you use that word.
On that age.
But when we talk about the claim of elitism, when we say, well, actually, it's because Pascal over there, you know, such a pity the October Revolution didn't get it. It's such a pity that he just doesn't care. My friends, if you're looking for an elite, you're not going to find them in me. You're not going to find them in this member of your government, elected by you, standing in front of you here this evening. I got into this college in the same way any of you did. I worked in this college just like many of you did. And I represent a constituency in the heart of the inner city of this country. That's not being an elite. That's what doing all of you do. Working, do my best to make a difference to the issues that I care about. And when I hear an economy being dismissed as if it's such an abstract concept, it's something for others. You know the value of an economy when you need a job. You know the value of an economy when a country runs out of money. And for those of you who say that GDP is an abstract concept, the truth of it is it is. But a growing economy builds more homes. More than 30,000 homes built this year. A growing economy gives you the job you deserve. A growing economy can pay for the education that should be yours That's not something that is a conspiracy. It's certainly not something that is a shimmer. It's real, and you'll know it's real when it's not around. So for those who are making case for change, well, address the issues that need change. For those who stand in front of you, creating the lure that easy change is possible, ask them how it will come about. Remember, what are the costs of simple claims spoken with certainty? What are the costs of that? Aren't we seeing those costs running more elsewhere? And I, speaking in front of you, I have many things, as I said in my few words earlier on, what I'm not is an elite, but what I recognise is that this is an imperfect world. What I recognise is that while this is a country that is making progress, that still has so many failings, still has so many things we need to do better on. But are we better? Are we making progress? So if I was addressing myself, if I was speaking to me when I was here 32 years ago, I would be talking about a country in which life expectancy has grown. I would be talking about a country that if you got sick in, you get better care in than was possible 30 years ago. I would be talking about a country that can bring about social progressive change. I would be talking about a country that's in Europe, that's growing in Europe. I would be talking about a country that economically, and let's be clear about this, is better off than my mum and dad inherited. I will be talking about a country in which the opportunities in front of you as a generation that I am so privileged to serve, that while the opportunities are still not what you want to be, are better than they could be. But that's not the question. The question is, if you're voting for this motion, what is the change? How can it be brought about? You have rhetoric. You heard claims. You heard loud voices from the opposition. You didn't hear a single solution. You didn't hear any effect as to how that change would be brought about. And on that note, on those grounds, they failed.